You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The leading cause of infant mortality in the United States is birth defects. They account for a fifth of all infant deaths. There's a growing body of evidence that shows exposure to pesticides may contribute to birth defects. Dr. Paul Winchester is a clinical professor of neonatology at the Indiana University School of Medicine. He's also director of neonatal intensive care at St. Francis Hospital in Indianapolis. When Dr. Winchester first started working in his hospital in the heart of U.S. farm country, he was surprised by the high level of birth defects in his patients. In April, Dr. Winchester published a study linking agrochemical in the month of conception with birth defects. The study was published in the academic journal Acta Pediatrica. Dr. Paul Winchester joins me by phone this morning from Indiana to tell us more about his study. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
What kind of birth defects were you seeing in your hospital?
Well, the spectrum of birth defects, you know, is quite broad. It can range from children with what we call Down syndrome, which is thought to be a chromosome anomaly. But it can also include something as simple as a cleft palate or cleft lip, and something as rare as a deletion from a chromosome or something like that. There are babies in many categories of conditions where the birth defect is apparent enough that it can be counted, if you will. Now, if you really take the concept of birth defects to its logical limit, it would include every little dimple that you wish you didn't have, you know. But of course, we're really just talking about the things that would represent rather major malformations in the child that often are associated with either extensive surgery or treatment or in some cases long-term handicaps.
Why did you decide to investigate a link with pesticide use?
Well, we had an opportunity in our state. I'll call it an opportunity. I think the other way of referring to it is a shock to discover that even in the United States, where the leading cause of infant death is still considered to be birth defects, that 20% of the states, or 12 states, were not actually having any systematic birth defect counting system. As of 2001, and I was shocked, of course, because my passion and interest is the outcome of pregnancy, and to find that we weren't counting the number one cause of infant death struck me as amazing. But I did find, ironically, that as I began to do the study, that we did have a lot of information about water in our state in Indiana, and thanks to the U.S. Geological Survey, a large body of data had been collected from streams and rivers across the entire United States, involving every single state and 70% of all the watersheds in the country. So this allowed us to extend our observations that we first made in Indiana to the rest of the country, where the idea was that the pesticides leave a fairly distinct signature in the streams and rivers. That is, they're not present for most of the year, but between April and July, they dramatically rise just after the application of these chemicals to the cornfields and what have you. So there's a very distinct blip in the screen, if you will, that you could imagine was going to influence virtually every pregnant mother, at least in some way, just because of the broadness of that exposure. And it would have been a very simple thing then to calculate the risk of having a birth defect based on when a mother conceived. And if we found that risk was stable and static across every month of the year, we could easily have exonerated pesticides and said, you know, there is no additional risk during the season when pesticides peak. But that isn't what we found.
So when you started to map or track that birth defects against pesticide concentrations in water, what did you find?
So we found then that instead of the birth defect rate was static for January, February, in March, but then it dramatically rose and continued to be high until July, when it went back to the stable level. So we found what had not been previously described, which is a season of increased risk of a birth defect. In this case, we're counting any birth defect. So there were 22 categories of birth defects on our list, and 11 of those were significantly elevated during that season. Now, finding a season of risk does not prove pesticides or anything else is necessarily causing it. But we were then looking at how well this season of risk correlated with what we already knew was the season of risk of elevated pesticides in water sources, and those seasons matched pretty well. It kind of builds a just as an order of magnitude of differences between 0.3 parts per billion and 1.3 parts per billion, and it's a pretty dramatic mean increase. So just as a caveat, then, this type of research is kind of a first stage in looking at large population effects, and so it does not prove that pesticides are the cause of birth defects by any means. But it also failed to let pesticides off the hook, and that's probably even more important. It requires then that we look more closely at this association. Now, others have actually done very similar studies in smaller populations. Minnesota applicators of pesticides, that is, farmers who applied for pesticide use, were investigated by Vince Gehry. Dieter Schweinemacher looked at wheat growers in Montana and the Dakotas, and they actually found very similar things in a smaller population, that there was indeed a time of greatest risk, which coincided with the time of greatest use of pesticides.
March, I understand, would be the delivery month for babies who were conceived last June. What kind of birth defects did you see at your hospital in March?
Well, so this March, you know, the month when our paper has just been accepted and presented, we actually had a sampling of all the ones that we'd actually statistically shown were increased. It was a little bit unnerving. Spina bifida is a major failure of closure of the neurocord, or the neurotube, as the fetus is developing, and it's a condition that's created very early in the pregnancy, and can be associated with hydrocephalus. It often leads to paralysis of the lower extremities, bowel and bladder, and often to some neurocognitive disabilities. So it's a devastating birth defect, and we did have one child with that. We had a child with a cleft lip. We had a child with a missing hand. We had a Down syndrome child. We had a child with a tracheal anomaly, and one with a gastrointestinal anomaly, and one with a urogenital anomaly. Those can range from undescended testicles to hypospadias to more extreme problems. So in our category of conditions that were significantly increased in risk, we didn't see all 11, but we saw 8 out of 11. And you have to understand that this is a relatively small birthing hospital, or an ordinary hospital, if you want, will. Patients are no greater risk here than they should be anywhere else. And always we've observed these clusters, but never quite understood the whole picture. So this is at least we were able to take the entire birthing population for the whole U.S. For 12 years and look at all of them and ask this basic question.
I understand that a scientist called Michael Skinner has done research investigating the effects of pesticide exposure on rats. Is his study relevant to this question?
Well, it is and it isn't. It actually in his model, and he's in Pullman, Washington, and has really had the most important, most recent observations about what pesticides can be doing, and it's helpful to put his work into this story, because Ultimately, what he did in his model was expose pregnant rats to pesticides for just 7 days during their gestation, to just one pesticide. And it's probably fair to say that women in America are not ever exposed to just one pesticide. They're all exposed, and they're almost all exposed to more than one. In fact, nearly 90% of Americans have pesticides in their blood at any given time. So that's, in a sense, a commentary on the scope of this problem in our current population. But in that very limited exposure in a rat of 7 days to one pesticide, every one of his rat pups was not deformed. He had no birth defects in any of his rat pups. And indeed, might have well thought that this study proved that brief exposure to one pesticide was not harmful. But fortunately, with his colleagues, they followed their rats out to their age of adulthood. And by that time, 90% of the males all had diseases, including ranging from low sperm count to immune disorders, kidney problems, prostate problems, accelerated aging, even such things as high cholesterol. And further, that these conditions could all be made to be transmitted to the next generation and to the next after no further exposure. And what he later demonstrated then was that the DNA has been methylated, marked, if you will, imprinted by this exposure. And the implications of that are really staggering if it truly is happening. Since then, we've wanted to ask more broad questions. A birth defect is in a sense the rarest and the most I hate to use the word gross, but it's a malformation. Those are extremely rare negative outcomes of pregnancy. Much more common are things like preterm birth, and other things that we're very concerned about as we grow up are, autism and cognitive disabilities. We're concerned about the fact that worldwide the incidence of some diseases like cancer, obesity, and diabetes are increasing worldwide. Those changes definitely point to there being something happening in our environment that's making disease more prevalent. Preterm birth rates are rising in our country and have been steadily. It almost requires that there be some environmental change that's causing this.
We probably all know of women who've had miscarriages or problems conceiving or maybe who've had babies who've had birth defects or problems down the line. Is there any collection going on this kind of reproductive data?
Well, there are. I think what most disturbs me is the same kind of thing I was disturbed by in 2001, to find that, the world's largest economy and most powerful nation was not counting its number one leading cause of infant death. So we definitely have priority issues. We can do that, and we certainly should be counting everything that happens in the development of a pregnancy and the successful outcome. I like to say this is the human race in microcosm. What happens in pregnancy is determining whether we have a future as a race. And to think that we don't actually have a systematic counting of how many women are infertile, how many women are taking longer to conceive, we do know that pesticides can impact male sperm, and directly in proportion to higher pesticide levels, you see deterioration in sperm quality. These studies have been done and shown. We would like then to imagine the time when we will be counting the outcomes of pregnancy that would include miscarriages, which are currently not even counted systematically. I'm a big advocate of getting really doing a better job of counting our babies and the outcome of pregnancy, because we think it's extremely important way of deciding whether we're in trouble or not.
Well, it's been really interesting talking with you this morning, and I really appreciate your taking the time to explain this so carefully to us.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Dr. Paul Winchester. He's a clinical professor of neonatology at Indiana University School of Medicine. He's also director of neonatal intensive care at St. Francis Hospital in Indianapolis. And you can find a link to his study on our webpage at cooperadio.org/redeye.